This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explore manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, this show may be over your head today on the Christian Car Guy Show because we're talking to roofers. Sorry, I just had to start off that way, but, you know, how fun is that? And then I have my old friend, and those of you who listen to the Truth Network a long time, you would remember the name Captain Jim Kinney. You might remember that little whistle that he used to come with, you know, like you're all aboard because Jim is with us. And that's it, Jim. You got it. So welcome back, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Good to be with you.
And Jim wrote a book a few years ago, but the last time I interviewed you, I think this was called Robbie's Hobbies.
Yes, I think so.
I don't know how many years it's been, Kingdom Pursuits. That's a long time ago, Jim. But anyway, he wrote the book, Is God a Conservative? And Does It Even Matter? And I can't help but think, wow, this is a very timely topic, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it is, because we seem to be a nation divided on whether it matters or not.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. It really is fun to have my friend back. He's moved to Atlanta, so it's going to be fun to talk to him. And then we also have Joe and Jesse with Smith Rock Roofing.
Yes, sir.
So is a Smith Rock different than regular rock?
Yeah, we're a little bit better. We hope to be a little bit better.
Smith had some value.
Yeah, Smith, so... Anyway, as you might have guessed, speaking of roofing, right, here it comes. Uh-oh. It always has to, right?
That's pretty. That's like record time getting into the riddles, Robbie.
Yeah.
These, I wasn't expecting it.
These roof jokes are, right, they're on the house today.
Nice. Nice.
You like that, Jim? You can laugh. It's okay. And so you might have heard this one, but it's still funny, so I'm going to tell it anyway. I don't know if you knew this, Jesse, but two antennas once met on a Smith Rock roof.
Mm.
They did, and they fell in love.
Aww.
They got married.
They did.
They did, yeah. The ceremony wasn't much, but, man, the reception was excellent.
Peak. It peaked.
That was good, Robbie.
I like
that. That's so bad. That's so bad.
Awesome.
That's a reception, yes. And, you know, Joe, your brother told me that he threw his iPhone off the roof.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah.
And it broke.
Yeah.
So I guess your airplane mode isn't working.
No, it's not.
It did break.
Yeah, it does. That's it.
Like, yeah, airplane mode. You know what I'm saying, Beth Ann? You're just looking at
it.
Yeah,
you know what? Yeah. What is that new update?
Hopefully that didn't go over her head.
So you knew it all, the end of all that shenanigans, that we actually would have a riddle today. And I've taken Beth Ann's advice and tried to make it easy. So, you know, you can call in and win today. All you got to do is tell us which of Jesus' disciples, and there might be more than one. In fact, I think there are. These people raised the roof, I'm just saying.
Oh!
They really did. 866-348-7884 is the number, and tell us which of Jesus' disciples raised the roof. 866-34-TRUTH. And Beth Ann, if they can guess that, tell them what they win.
Oh, Robbie, we're going to go high on the roof. For this one, we got great, great prizes inside the Truth Prize Closet. We've got t-shirts, we've got books, we've got CDs and DVDs. So we're going to get something good for everybody.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And, of course, it'd be more wonderful if you're the winner. So call us. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. And so... We'll start off with Jesse, since you do the commercial for Smith Rock Roofing. So which of you guys ran into Stu Epperson, our fearless leader, and so you guys are now one of the you know, partners of the Truth Network, and you're joining us, and so you're going to be hearing some ads from Smith Rock Roofing. So was Stu up on the roof with you, or what's going on there?
No, we ran into Stu. Joe and I have actually both worked in the car business and sold cars.
Oh,
in
no.
The past, as part of our, yeah, as part of our.
You're Christian car guys.
Yeah.
We got a whole studio full of us.
That's right.
Not on your level.
Everybody hold your wallets. We're all yours. Go ahead.
But I tried to sell Stu a vehicle about 7 years ago, and Joe finished him off and sold him one. About 3 years ago or something.
I don't think it was quite that long ago.
So you worked for Modern? But,
yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah,
and Infiniti or which one?
Yep. Yeah. Modern. I worked for Infiniti. Yeah.
So my son worked for Modern for a long time.
Really?
He was at the Toyota store, and then he ended up at the Chevy store.
I was at the Toyota store for about 5 years in the internet.
With Dan Santarelli?
I know Dan.
So, yeah. Beth Ann, you remember Dan?
Yeah. I do. I know I'm older.
Okay. So I used to have, I forget, my Christian something guy. And it was Dan Santarelli, and you said...
I remember now. Yes.
Dan the man.
Yeah. What a small world. Yeah, Dan the modern guy. Yeah.
It was Dan the modern, whatever. And whatever I would say, he would go, yep, you're right, Rob. You remember? And you used to say he was my Ed McMahon.
Yes, right. You're right. No matter what you said, he concurred.
Customer's always right.
Right.
I'm sorry, Jim, we digress. But so that's where the Smith Rock. All right, very cool. So you guys went from, you know, just plain old car salesman to the top job, right? Yeah.
Well, in our history is, you know, in construction, you know, Dad was a remodeler, and so we grew up, you know, our summers on roofs and installing drywall and flooring and all that kind of stuff. So
yep.
Got a lot of valuable experience from Dad's business when we were, in high school.
That's really cool. And obviously, with being in the car business, if you were in sales, which I'm guessing you guys were,
yeah,
you kind of got an idea of how to work with customers.
Sure,
that's true.
And try to listen, because a lot of people don't realize this. Like, if you want to sell cars, Jim, you may not know this, but I'm just going to tell you. The people come in and don't inherently trust you.
Really? It's true.
Is that right?
It's true.
I would never have guessed.
So if you're going to make it as a car salesman, you actually have to develop some really good listening skills.
Sure.
And you have to develop some really good, essentially mannerisms and things in order for people to go, okay, this is, because otherwise, you know, they're, you know, was it like that when you're a captain in the Navy? I mean, was that the deal? Like, did your other people come in like, I don't know if I trust this captain?
Well, I don't think I felt that way in the Navy, but in recruiting, and I was in charge of Navy recruiting and retention for 2.5 years, there was an element of distrust when a recruiter was talking to an 18-year-old about a career or some life choices that they could make about the Navy.
Yeah, I would think. So it's a similar thing that you know, and even in sharing the gospel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, having the ability to listen to somebody and ability to attempt to understand where their needs are and whatever and begin to process, you know, how did you put me in this situation and how are you going to go about doing that?
Yeah.
So that's what happened with you in writing your book, right? Jim, how did you sense God showing up and saying, Jim, I want you to write a book about me being a conservative?
Well, actually, the book is not to try to convince you that God is a conservative so much as it's designed to convince you that blessing lies in doing it God's way. And historically, in context, God hasn't always been a conservative. If you go back to the first century and the way Jesus treated women, and some of the things that he said were very revolutionary and liberal for the culture of the time. Hmm. But the blessing lies in figuring out where God is and doing it his way.
You know, that's a really good point, Jim, because it's kind of like I could imagine meeting like Joshua when he met the angel of the Lord, right? He didn't say, hey, are you a Democrat or a Republican? He goes,
yeah, that's right.
It's like, no. You've missed something here somewhere, right? That you know, the Lord has his own platform from which he works. That's absolutely
right. I figured out the other day that if God and I are having a disagreement, that he's right.
Every single time. So I am shocked that nobody knows about these roof raisers that were disciples. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. When we come back, we're going to dig into Joe and Jesse's story a little bit and kind of catch up with my friend Jim on how he sees things in our current situation. I'm sure we'd all like that insight. I know I would. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today I'm so blessed to have my good friend, Captain Jim Kinney, back with us. He is the author of God as a Conservative, and my new friends, who I find out are already friends of my son, I didn't know, Joe and Jesse with Smith Rock Roofing. So we're going to find out about all these things. But first, I got to hear, we got a riddler on the phone. We got Scott. Is God an answer for this raising the roof characters in the Bible? So, Scott, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie. I'm going to take a stab at this. When Jesus healed the paralytic, they had to actually lower him through the roof. Is that correct?
Yeah. In order to lower him through the roof, they first had to raise the roof to make a hole.
Yeah.
I don't know how that worked. I love that story.
So, and that was in Capernaum. And I'm actually thinking it, I'm going to say Peter, just because he was a leader, maybe Peter and John, and they probably all helped.
They were roof raisers. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I've always really, really, really loved that story. And I love to think about those guys that lowered the paralytic, because Jesus says something very interesting to them. He says, Your sins have already been forgiven. You know, he says this to the man that's being lowered. Or he says, your sins are forgiven. That's the actual statement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've often wondered, was he talking to the people that were lowering their friend? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you, me, everybody, we all have opportunities to forgive people, right? Mm. When we forgive somebody, Jesus could say, hey, your sins are forgiven. You know, there might have been an interesting squabble between those mm-hmm. people on the roof and this man yeah. at some point in time before he was hurt, or maybe they hurt him. And that's the reason he was, you know, I don't know the story, but I've always found it fascinating. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it upset the Pharisees that Jesus said your sins are forgiven. But I think it's an interesting point to ponder. I know that's way too much than we... Anyway, Scott, but you're a winner. You're exactly right. Thank you for calling in today.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So I'm interested. You guys were homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, sir.
That's right.
And so your father, before you, obviously was a roofer. Your parents are wonderful Christian people. It's obvious. And they had you guys. So how did your faith go from your father's faith to your faith? Whoever wants to go first with that question. Like, you know, I know you grew up with your parents' faith, like, you know, like so many children, but at some point in time you had to make that your own. And can you share that story?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we started off Twin City Bible Church. I think it was Twin City Baptist Church when we started there. It's Twin City Bible now, off of Ebert, near Pierce Creek.
Right.
And that's where we started off. And, you know, there were a lot of, that's a really interesting question, because you start off, you know, in a Christian household. I can't remember a time when the Bible wasn't taught in my house, because it was just from the very beginning. You know, it was right there. You know, we were, you know, we did devotions every morning. I think when we were coming along, yeah. we got a little bit older. We were doing devotions
about 5 a.m.
Yeah, 5:30 in the morning. We were doing devotions. You know, and that came before breakfast and came before our schoolwork and everything.
Thanks. Thanks
for that applause. Really is for Mom. I think she's the one that spearheaded the early devotionals. But Dad was there too, and you know, it's a process. I've, you know, personally had to go through some, you know, some difficult times in my life for faith to become real. You know, for it to become real. I think it's easy to sit back and talk a good game and know a lot of hymns.
So can you take us into one of those where your faith became real? I mean, actual story. I mean, what happened?
Yeah. I've had a couple of surgeries in my past, and that's difficult. That's scary. You know, that's a scary, you know, situation. And that's, you know, I think looking back, that's one of those situations where God uses something that's kind of a negative and uses it to, you know, to pull us closer to Him. A scary situation that there's no guarantees.
So there
coming
you are,
something like that.
Jesse, and the doc says it's time to start cutting, right?
Yeah.
And so did you go to God in prayer with that, or can you kind of walk us through how He reassured you?
Yeah, and I had a lot of absolutely that, you know, was a good opportunity to strengthen my prayer life, and of course I had family there that was there, but your family can't. You know, no one can experience that for you. That's you. Yeah. That's you going through that.
Yeah.
And that's when it's just you and God, that's when, you know, that really strengthens, it has the opportunity to strengthen your faith.
And so how did God show up?
Well, I pulled through both of those and both of those surgeries, one when I was very young, and then I was about 20 years old, the last one that I had, and that was... That was a scary experience. I was older. I knew more. You know, I was aware of what was going on and the seriousness of the procedure and all that. And
was there a scripture or something that kind of
no particular scripture you know comes to mind, but you know, definitely, I think prayer in general was the number one thing that changed in my life at that point.
Right, because you have this intimacy that begins to happen. So, Jim, again, getting back to God's calling you to write this book, how did you get there?
Well, I had been struggling with the fact that it appeared to me as if most people kind of took God for granted and His blessing. And as the idea started to formulate, a couple of people came alongside and really encouraged me, read some of the stuff that I was considering including in the book, and said, we need this, and people need to be intentional about their decisions, and that the word luck doesn't have any place in the Christian life. That when things break our way, if you want to say it that way, it's God's blessing. He's overlooking us as His children, and we need to see Him at every point and every turn, and we need to understand that blessing comes from the hand of the Creator, and not from the government, and not from circumstances, but God oversees the lives of His children.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just thinking about the blessing of freedom that, you know, when you wrote that book, I don't know if I had any concept of how I took my freedoms for granted, right? Because we grew up in a country where you could post whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, wherever you wanted.
That's right. There wasn't any censorship.
If I wanted to go to work, you know, I could go to work. That didn't necessarily play out. You know, that all of a sudden, if I wanted to go to a movie, I could go to a movie. If I, you know, and all sorts of things are happening, and I'm not saying that it's the government that took it. I'm just saying that we had freedoms, we had health, we had a lot of stuff, and it was been an interesting year as God, just like in your case, I'm thinking, Jesse, God pulls legs off our stool that we've been leaning on. Yeah. I was leaning on that United States of America to an extent. I didn't realize I was leaning on these things, but as God pulls them out, right? You end up right there in prayer, and I'll be, you know, I'm going to say that my prayer life over the last, you know, since November 3rd has been significantly different.
Sure.
When it comes to some of those things, how about you, Joe?
Yeah, definitely going back to, you know, November 3rd, you know, and whatnot. But it, you know, I'm young, you know, I'm still trying to build my career. You know, I don't have any kids yet. I'm not married yet. So, you know, there's a lot of future things that are going through my head, you know, that I, you know, I want to live to be old, you know, and happy and stuff like that, you know, like everybody else. But, it's really taken, it's taken something like this and other things for me to kind of sit back and trust God and be like, listen, if we die today, you know, to live, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's really has sunk with me a lot because, you know, I am, you know, I'm 27, you know, I hope I live to be a little bit older, but that may not be, you know, America may not be here. We may face some things. So
that reminds me, I do a show with Mike Zwick called If Not For God. And I think it was Thursday night. I get a text. I'm on my way home and it says, I'm ready to die. It's a text from Mike Zwick. I'm ready to die. And I'm like, so I texted him back. Mike, are you okay? You know, he goes, no, in a good way. I was like, what? You're ready to die in a good way? And he was speaking about that sure. very passage as you know, he was processing that. But I'm very curious. So Jesse, how about you? I mean, yeah, Joe, I got to get the right.
Trust me, our mom understands your pain. Yeah.
How about you? How did your faith become more real for you?
We have an older brother who's 7 years older than me, and then Jess was 5 years older than me. So I pretty much just fell in line. My whole life has just been fall in line, you know, because they were both great models, role models. So that made it easy, you know, and our parents too, and friends and family being in church. I think when I turned 18, I graduated high school in spring of 2012, had been working a little bit. Had some hopes and aspirations about college and sports and things like that. And probably due to some of my own choices and then maybe some, you know, bad luck or whatever, some of the things didn't play out that I had thought. And that was tough. You know, that was kind of my whole life, what I'd known. And so it's been a lot for me to work back from there, but, you know.
We'll get more into that. We're going to find out more from Jim on the current situation, and we got so much more Kingdom Pursuits. We would love to hear from you. Got a comment, a question? 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we are so blessed to have with us today Jim Kinney, Captain Jim Kinney of U.S. Navy, retired author of Is God a Conservative? And Does That Even Matter? And Joe and Jesse Claffey with Smith Rock Roofing. And I should tell you that if you go to kingdompursuits.com, you can get Jim's book. It's still in print. I saw it this morning on myself on Amazon, so you can get that. Or Smith Rock Roofing is all there. So you're thinking, gee, you know, I've got shingles or whatever your situation may be.
Again.
Yeah. You know, however that works, you just go to Kingdom Pursuits and you can see Smith Rock Roofing and the whole team and what they're about, and you can see how fun that is. But right now, I got Amy Cabo, the host of The Cures, with us. And so, Amy, you got a big show coming up. Like, is hypnosis Christian, right?
Yes, a very interesting show, I would say. I don't know much about it, so I'm very interested in it. Kevin Stone, a master hypnotist, board-certified hypnotherapist, and he helps take a deep dive into the subconscious. Maybe to the core, the source of a lot of ailments that we deal with and setbacks in life, from PTSD and anxiety to insecurities, fears or misconceptions, to repressed memories. That, you know, once these things are addressed, it helps us move forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a live show. You can call in with your views on the whole subject, even challenge the host or the guest. They'd be glad to, because they'd love to take your calls. It's live 1 o'clock. On the Truth Network, it's called The Cure with Amy Cabo and her delightful husband, Boris. Like, if you miss out on Boris, you're just getting, you know, part of the package, right, Amy?
Yeah.
So, thank you, Amy. God bless. Have a great show.
You too. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye. So, when we left our hero, Joe, right?
I don't know about hero.
Yeah, it's my hero because, you know, I'm just excited to see the next generation. You know, that, and I made all, like, when I was your age, it was pitiful. I mean, I didn't know Christ at all. And so, you know, I had a huge disadvantage. But it's really encouraging to see you guys' faith and the courage, really, to get on the radio. I mean, this isn't easy stuff. You know, if somebody told me when I was 23, oh, yeah, you're going to go get on the radio, talk about God like I am what, huh? But I am very curious. So, and I understand. Like, I wanted to be a basketball player, too, when I was in high school. You might not guess that, but I'm 6'5", so I know my son did. And then there comes this point where what you thought your future was going to be is,
sure,
you know, God's got something a little different in mind. And so can you take us there like your brother did?
Yeah. I guess, you know, coming out of high school, going into the workforce, you're just slapped in the face with a lot of things, you know, people being mean to you,
I was home. You didn't have a chance for all those teachers to be mean to you.
Exactly. Jumping into Forsyth Tech, you know, working, going to night classes. So, I mean, it was just a total culture shock. And at that point in time, it's very easy to, how does the verse go, lean unto your own understanding. Lean not unto your own. Well, even though my own understanding was a Christian home, a Christian-based background and whatnot, I think sometimes, not to be cliche, but, you know, you kind of lean on your parents.
Right.
You know, you're like, well, mom was saved. You know, mom's good, so I'm good, you know. And sometimes it can take some real slap in the faces and some failures and, you know, some long nights and you know, failing some things to kind of realize maybe I'm not who I am. And then also, where's your identity? You know, if you didn't get to be a Major League Baseball player, or you're not the top selling roofer in North Carolina, or whatever, what's your identity? And you know, I'll be honest, I'm still working on it. You know, I'm still trying to make sure that my identity is in Christ and what he's done for us on the cross, and not, hey, I'm a great roofer, or hey, I did a good job at my, you know, a project, or even helping people. That's not what the ultimate goal is.
That's cool. That is, and I can tell you that one of the reasons that Jim and I are the friends that we are is that he is a phenomenal disciple. Like, he studies the Bible, he sees really, really cool things, and then he just shares them with the people that are around him. And so Jim and I, wouldn't you agree, Jim, the reason that we're as close as we are is we both share a really phenomenal delight in the Word of God and really trying to dig deep into it and see it. And that's where iron really sharpens iron, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. My approach, and I love to teach, but my approach is that the Bible is not about your information. It's not providing you with more data, more history, more stories. The Bible is written to be applied practically in your life every day. And when you haven't learned how to use the scripture to make decisions and to understand God's path ahead, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, and so along those, so you've been digging, I'm sure you have, as the events of the last few months, is there some scripture that you really feel like applies to what your personal experience has been as you're trying to figure out your path right this minute?
Well, the one thing I keep going back to is to remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is a spiritual warfare. People that are making the kind of mistakes that are being made in our culture, in our society, in our political system today are just blind. They're just deceived. They don't know the truth. There is a antagonism against having somebody tell you what's right and wrong. We have a nation in rebellion against allowing God to be the authority in our lives. We think if we can line up enough ones and zeros in the proper order, we can replace God. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, the answer to peace and purpose is a binary choice. And you have to choose yes or no. Is Jesus who he said he is? And once you make that binary choice, it doesn't matter how good a programmer you are, how many ones and zeros you can line up to achieve some sort of solution or some sort of answer, you've already found the truth of the all universe when you understood that Jesus is who he said he is.
Yeah, and for me,
I fear. Go ahead.
For me, Jim,
I fear Silicon Valley. It's
yeah, I know.
Go, Robbie.
So yeah, when I this is a minute by minute deal. It's sometimes second by second that I feel great, and then all of a sudden I don't feel so great. And then, fortunately, you know, the Holy Spirit will kick in and say, "Robbie, go take a look at what you studied this morning." And so I came up with this. I hope this might help you, but I used to take journals and write all my stuff into journals. And I loved that because I could go look at those journals whenever I wanted to look at it. But nowadays, due to technology, there's a notes feature in my iPhone. Okay, now you got to be very careful because you can lose them all. So I work very hard to separate these things by month and day and all that stuff. But by using the notes in my phone of the words and the things I studied that morning, I cannot tell you how many times during the day I go back and I look at what God was teaching me this morning because, man, I've lost it. I'm like, where was I? How did I get here? You know, how is it that I'm so frustrated right this minute? And how is it that I'm, you know, working through things? And fortunately, you know, it's really cool that if God gives you something, you're wanting to say something, Joe. So go for it.
No, I'm just listening. I like listening. I'm just close to the mic in case you call on me.
Okay, you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. I'm on deck.
So Captain, you're in that same place, right? That you,
yeah.
You're getting this stuff.
Two things I'd want to say. One of my life verses is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And how do you apply that practically in your life? What is the not I choice? It means laying down what you want and seeking out what God wants. And so many times I find myself making decisions about what I want out of my experience, out of my knowledge base.
Yeah. I hate we got to go to a break, Jim, so we got so much more of Galatians and Jim and Jesse and Joe and Smith Rock Roofing. It's all a Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have my good friend, Captain Jim Kinney, U.S. Navy retired. And oh, let me tell you, if you ever want to talk some war stories, Jim has some unbelievable service to this country. So we are so grateful for everything you did there, Captain Jim. And then we have Joe and Jesse with Smith Rock Roofing, my new friends. It's just really, really fun to see two young disciples like this. And so I got to tell you, during the break, Captain, you would have loved it because all of a sudden Jesse looks at me and he goes, "Well, who do you say I am?" And so take up your thought there on how important it is that you don't go with what other people say is, right?
Yeah, well, I just kind of remembered that scripture, you know, where Jesus asked the disciples. You reminded me it was the disciples he was talking to, and I think there were Peter or one of them would, you know, said, "Well, you know, others say that you're a rabbi or maybe you're a prophet. You're sent to us by God." And Jesus almost kind of, you get the feeling Jesus almost kind of interrupted him, or he was at least eager to ask the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's just kind of what we were talking about before kind of brought that scripture to my mind. And that's such a fundamental question to answer, for us to answer, as Jim, I think you touched on. You know, who do we think that Christ is, and what is our, not just what do we say with our mouths, but, you know, how our actions, our behaviors, our lives reflect who we think Jesus is.
The truth is that we do what we believe.
Yeah.
Somebody has said that I can look at your checkbook and find out what your priorities are. if it's action, if the faith doesn't reveal itself in the way we make decisions, in the way we treat people, in the way we face everyday crisis, then you have to go back and challenge and check, what's my faith hanging on? Right. You know, is it, somebody said earlier, well, my mom was a godly woman, so I'm okay. There's so many people who don't have an understanding of the personal relationship that can be developed with Jesus Christ in the everyday walk if you just seek him out in the daily things of life. It's not just luck. It's not just, well, I had a good day. It's the blessing of God when he touches your life in those ways. We need to remember to thank him for the little blessings that I got somewhere on time when I didn't think I could make it because I was going to have to deal with traffic and stoplights, and the traffic was gone and the stoplights were green and I got there on time. Well, wasn't I lucky? No, I prayed about it before I got in the car, and God cleared the road. We've got to understand that God is active in our lives every day.
Yeah, it's all too easy. And so I'm thinking you guys need to pray before you go up on the roof because I'm worried. I've seen Jesse's phone, and I can see what happened. He wasn't on airplane mode, and it's all cracked.
The length of the prayer depends on the pitch of the roof.
So what, you know, Bethann, you had a picture of this Labrador, right, climbing a ladder. What have you got there?
Oh, yeah, it was something that was on social media about 3 days ago. This guy who was on his roof to do something with his dish. Got up on the roof and woo, I'm safe, and turned around. There was his golden retriever. How did you get up here? And one of his neighbors had one of those cameras, you know, looking at his house, and you see the dog go up the ladder.
And it's no regular ladder, right?
No, it was a normal scary ladder.
It was pretty. I think it was at least a story and a half concrete. Yeah. If I was a dog, I wouldn't have gone up it.
If I was a human, I wouldn't have gone up it, and I am.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you a story, funny, that, and I don't even know if I have time to, but I'll tell it anyway. So about 3 years ago, I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning praying and studying the Bible and all this stuff, and I hear some footsteps on the roof. And I'm like, wow, that's somebody on my roof. And so I told Tammy, look, call the police. I'm going to go see who this person is. And so I got my shotgun. I step out the door, and there's a dude on my roof. Now, my daughter is in the upstairs, you know, my, and I'm like, what is this guy doing? You know, like, what in the world? It's 4 a.m. This guy's on my roof. And so I'm like, and I cocked the gun. You know, he can hear it, and he goes, don't shoot me. And I said, what are you doing on my roof? He says, I'm looking for my daughter. I said, I'm afraid you're looking for my daughter. and it turned out the guy was high on some drugs or whatever.
Oh, no.
And he was actually looking for his daughter on my roof. Oh, wow. Well, I said, and my wife is talking to the police. This is a funnier part of the story. And she's like, I think you guys need to come. My husband has a gun. He's pointing it at somebody's on our roof right this minute. Uh-oh, I just heard him cock the gun.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Well,
this is escalating.
Yeah, it's escalating. There you go.
Well, then I hear sirens coming from everywhere. Like, you know, because this completely had their attention that, you know.
Yeah.
And so this dude runs off my roof. I mean, he runs like takes off running. And Jim, I digress. We need something biblical now to finish. He ended up getting arrested, and everybody's okay.
Well, maybe if he's turned his life around a little bit, maybe we offer him a job. He sounds like he's pretty, you know.
He's a good roofer.
Sure-footed up on the roof, you know. Have to do some screening.
We have a process at Smith Rock Roofing.
Reconnecting roof stories to spiritual stories. I want to use this quote from one of you guys. The pitch of the roof determines the urgency of the prayer.
There you go.
I like that very much.
Put that on a shirt.
Again, Smith Rock Roofing. Don't forget those guys. You can find them at Kingdom Pursuits, as well as Is God a Conservative? Wonderful, wonderful book. We're so grateful for you, Jim, to have you back, and for you guys, young guys, Joe and Jesse with Smith Rock. We really had fun today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Thanks, Jim. And right now, stay tuned. You got so much truth coming at you. You got encouraging prayer followed by, the masculine journey starts here now at 12 o'clock. And then you got Nikita Koloff at 12:30 and The Cure at 1. Oh, my goodness. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.